On the Pilot TV podcast this week, we're fighting the system with Sharon Horgan and Michael Sheen in Best Interests on BBC One, letting it all hang out with Robert Carlyle and the gang in the Full Monty on Disney Plus, and strapping in for what is certain to be the sci-fi event of the decade, as after being teased repeatedly over the past couple of months, we are finally able to feast our eyes on The Ark over on Sky Sci-Fi. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to the Pilot TV podcast, your essential guide to every show that matters. With me in the studio this week, you'll be unsurprised to hear, are the other two corners of Pilot TV's televisual triangle. Ever-acute pundit Kay Ribeiro.
Hi.
And Apex name-dropper Boyd Hilton.
Hello, I thought you said ever cute there for a minute. I was like, what?
Ever,
is that appropriate?
Acute.
I wasn't cute.
I chose to hear cute, but I knew he meant
it. It wasn't sexual harassment.
He would never give me a compliment.
Acute. If I said ever obtuse, that would have been rude. But ever acute was fine. You see, I'm using a bit of Pythagorean humour.
Oh, of course you
because
are.
It's a triangle. It's good. Yeah. Maths bands. It's great. That's funny. It's good shit. We're on a roll. Now, before we get into what we've been watching, I have a little announcement for you all. So pull up your social calendars and block out the evening of Saturday, the 19th of August, because, well, Pilot TV is always in your ears. That weekend will be in your faces as well. We're back at King's Place in London. We're doing a special live show to celebrate our 250th episode. We'd love, obviously, all of you to be there with us. So tickets are on sale now over at the King's Place website. I'm reliably informed that the URL will be kingsplace.co.uk/pilot250. That's kingsplace.co.uk/pilot250. If you can't remember that, just Google King's Place, Pilot TV, 250. You should find it, or just dig around on the King's Place website. But anyway, that's Saturday, the 19th of August. Do not miss it. Be there 100% with us. You'll see Kay, you'll see Boyd. We might have guests there. We'll be talking about TV shows. It'll be brilliant. We'll be talking to all of you. We'll be soliciting questions from the audience. So it'd be like the ultimate postbag triage, where everyone's in the room and I will live triage the questions. It's going to be amazing.
I need to put that date in my diary.
You do. I think I should get props for having warned the two of you that we were doing it before announcing it on the podcast.
I know. So
that
was,
You mean behaving like a normal human being? Extra props for that.
I was still surprised because we hadn't fully confirmed it. And then as he said it, I was like, oh, so we are doing that. Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you going to make it as hectic as the 200?
We're not doing a repeat of 200. No. We're not doing another 10-hour spectacular. It's a tight 3 hours.
Including
no quiz about me. No.
Let's never forget the quiz about James.
What did I call it? I can't remember the name of the round.
Well, I mean, the what's the word? The apotheosis? Is that the word?
Pretentious.
Egotistical. This is absolutely true. For those of you who came to the 200 show, we did a quiz where it was Pilot versus Empire. Pilot won with no cheating whatsoever. And we had many rounds. There were visual rounds. There was an excellent round called The Fulk in Our Stars, where there were lots of stills from movies where I'd replaced everyone's face with the face of Peter Falk.
That was quite good.
Not movies, films. Not films. What are they called? TV shows. Yes, that's what this is. It's a Pilot TV podcast. So TV images, and I'd replace the actors' faces with Peter Falk. We had title sequences. We had music. We had a music round, and we had a round based on me, which had an excellent pun title, which at the moment is escaping me.
If he does say it himself, it was interminable. It was so long. It was like a particular highlight that night. Actually, was you did the script writers.
Yes, we did. We had that, which is available
brilliant.
On Pilot Plus. Instantly.
Yeah, I still need to listen to that. Yeah. And also, Beth did the brilliant thing where she brought her dad up onto the stage.
That was very funny. Yeah, we did an extended Banshee segment, and Beth's dad came on stage to act out a walk and talk episode, which I thought was
Terry hijacked him for her bit as well, which I thought was very bold.
Yeah. That's true. Mr. Webb was in full effect. It was a good day. Not all of it, unfortunately, is available on Pilot Plus. We've put the storytelling masterclass up there, and obviously the main 200 show is available on the regular feed. But a lot of things, like the quiz, I really wanted to put the quiz up, but it so many of the rounds were visually based, it doesn't work as a podcast. Mm. So
that would be the only reason not to put it up.
not the round based on you.
That is the reason not to put it up, 100%.
Our special guest, James Dyer, interviewing James Dyer.
Guys, just like, had an idea.
When Alan Partridge interviewed himself on Mid Morning Matters, I can see James recreating that for this live podcast.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Maybe if the listeners want James to interview himself.
I might do that. I'll be the guest feedback. And the interviewer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've just.
And I'll do my thing that you love so much. Like, did I like it? No.
Yeah, exactly.
Would I watch it again?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's standard behavior anyway. So you might as well use that as a format, as a concept, as a proof of concept, perhaps.
Yeah. Oh, don't.
The rhetorical interview.
The rhetorical interview. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, this could work.
I've just had an idea.
Okay, she's got a hand up.
Go on.
Because I'm quite excited about this. Maybe the live episode is when James gets his guitar out.
Well,
and
I'm not saying I cut off the end of my finger just to stop from having to deliver on this promise.
No.
But I'm off the guitar for the foreseeable future because I'm literally missing the end of a finger.
Is that your plucking finger?
Yeah. Well, no, it's my fretting finger. It's one of my fretting fingers.
Can't we add something onto it? I mean, can we stick something on?
Put like a thimble thing. Don't
yes, a thimble.
I don't believe you can play the guitar with a thimble.
I've seen guitarists do that. I'm sure they can.
I don't think you have.
I think
you are referring to a slide boid, which blues guitarists use.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they don't use a thimble.
Plectrum.
A plectrum? Yeah. That would go in the other hand.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right, let's give him a thimble. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, yeah. That's not going to happen.
A thimble of what? Sorry.
Thimble of sugar.
Anyway, remind the listeners when the live
podcast, which is coming in your faces. No, I should have worded that better. I should have worded that better.
I mean, they're absolutely guaranteed
you're on your own.
No,
I mean,
we're not talking about your screening of Nacho that you did.
Guys, I can promise I will keep you safe from him.
It's not a Nacho.
It will be in your faces, the show that is on Saturday the 19th of August. So be there. But while I'm plugging things, I should say that there is also still time to vote for your favourite ever TV shows over at EmpireOnline.com/best TV voting. So please do that when you get a chance. And remember, it is spelled EXPANSE. Also, if I'm gonna plug that, I might as well plug everything. Please subscribe to Pilot Plus. For just £1.99 a month, you not only get a second Pilot TV pod every week, where we review another show, but you also get to hear us pick through the Pilot TV post pack and witness my excellent triage system. Plus, you get to hear our week-by-week spoiler chat on shows like Succession and Yellow Jackets and Ted Lasso and stuff like that, which is very, very exciting. But that's not all. That is not all.
Well,
because you also get access to our TV spoiler specials, recent additions to which include our Succession Season 4 spoiler special with director Mark Mylod and our Big Old Barry final season spoiler special with guest Sarah Goldberg, not to mention previous ones, such as the Dearly Departed Lockwood one that we did, and my mammoth three-part Last of Us spoiler special with Pedro Pascal, Bella Ramsey, Craig Mazin, and Neil Druckmann. Yeah, and we're doing one for Apple Silo I'm recording next week, which
of course
is very exciting.
You are.
Yeah, absolutely. Kay's got a hand up.
What's the matter with you?
I think his coat's he's rustling against
it. It is. So I'm wearing a coat because...
Another audio problem.
Because in contrast to this room being boiling when the air conditioning isn't working, the air conditioning is currently in overdrive.
It's warmed up now. It has.
And I'm freezing. So I am wearing a coat that is rustling.
You hear it rustling against
Should
the
I take my coat off?
Yeah.
Should I take my coat off?
Only your
I mean,
coat, James.
We are reviewing the full Monty. So should I spin it above my head when I take it off?
Also, if it was one of us rustling, if it was one of us rustling like that, you would never let us.
That is true.
Yeah, this is... Yeah.
All right, look. The coat, the rusty coat. This is the rusty coat. The rusty, it's actually a jacket. Anyway.
It's a jacket.
There you go. The jacket is off. The jacket is off. The pants are still on. Yeah. It's all good.
You know,
we've not gone
realized.
Full Monty. We're fine.
You know what I've just realised, though?
What have you gone? What have you realised?
Which is that, what I didn't realise is that live, because obviously we're all checking the dates so we can do the live dates. That date, so Saturday the 19th, did you say?
Yes.
That is
which I cleared with you first.
Yeah, you did. You did. But what I didn't forget, of course, is that the football season will have started by then.
How does this affect me?
And Arsenal could well be playing on Saturday night.
Then you can like watch it on stage on your phone.
Your two great loves.
Yeah, combined.
Well, yeah.
You could do like a Mrs. Doubtfire thing where we get two halls at King's Place and in one hall you do Pilot, in the other hall you do your Arsenal one, and you run backwards and forwards in costume changes between the two different podcasts.
Yeah.
That could
work. Exciting. So we may or may not have Boyd on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, for parts of it. But hang on. So I was in the middle of plugging Pilot Plus and you have rudely interrupted because I haven't mentioned that there's even more you get from Pilot Plus for your $1.99 a month because you also get the main pod 11 hours earlier than everyone else at 6 a.m. on a Monday morning. But you also get it entirely ad-free. All that for £1.99 a month, which is less than the price of a saurine malt loaf, probably, if you get it at Waitrose.
That's a retro reference.
Anyway. I actually don't know if that's true. I genuinely don't know what a saurine malt loaf costs, but I suspect it's more than $1.99.
I think so.
Everything's more than $1.99.
Yeah. Everything is more than $1.99. Anyway, do that. EmpireOnline.com/pilot TV to subscribe. What have you been watching?
I have. Here's the. Was it Bingo? The people fill in.
Oh yeah. Famously.
Famously, I hosted the Q&A in the week. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
And it was for the new one-off hour-long special of the series There She Goes, which is going to be on, it's going to air on BBC Two on Wednesday, the 21st of June. And we it would be normally up for consideration for review, but it is one-off. And I know James doesn't like one-off shows, Kay. And also, it's a busy week that week. So I'm predicting that.
I love that show.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could still review it in full, but I'm predicting in a busy week, we probably won't have time to review it in full, all of us. But it's a fantastic episode. It's the first new episode for 3 years. It's, of course, all about David Tennant and Jessica Hines as the couple who have a severely learning disabled daughter, Rosie, played brilliantly by Miley Locke, and her older brother, Ben, played by Eden Hayhurst. And it's based on the real-life experiences of the writers, Sean Pye and Sarah Crawford, who do indeed have a severely learning disabled daughter of their own. And so they were all on the panel, and it was really, it's an incredibly moving and yet brilliantly funny episode. From the start, in the previous two series, it's always been funny and moving at the same time. It's a brilliant trick that they perform. This is the funniest, the most moving episode ever, James. And I say that because he's looking at his email. And the screen people were there was audible sobbing in the audience,
right,
at the Soho Hotel. And then when I hosted the Q&A, it was the most kind of emotional Q&A I've ever hosted, I think, because I was just looking at David Tennant's eyes and he was welling up just remembering, you know, the kind of the real life stories behind this show. And the writers Sean and Sarah, you know, them talking about how this really is based, everything that happens in the show pretty much is based on actual incident that happened in their lives and in the lives of them and their daughter. So it was really heartbreaking, the whole thing, but fantastic as well at the same time. And that, so yeah, There She Goes, Wednesday 21st, BBC Two, 9 o'clock. Watch it.
Will that just is that now over? Or will it continue?
Not necessarily. It's I think they decided to do this episode because it was like the daughter's 13 now, and there's the question of is it time to get outside help, respite, mm-hmm, help from, you know, different places, so they don't, because she needs more looking after, and so that was what triggered the idea to do this one-off episode and a whole other storyline, which I won't give away because it's a bit of a spoiler. So I think as other things happen in their lives going in the future, I think they probably would think about doing more episodes. But I think it's probably I don't think there'll be any more like 5-part series, but I think it's open to having more episodes, I think.
And has their daughter have we caught up in age, like, to their actual daughter?
Yeah,
right,
absolutely. Yeah, we have. Yeah, which is interesting. Yeah. The actress Miley Locke, just incredible in that role. And in this episode, she really has to do a lot. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, so that's brilliant. And then I watched the rest of The Crowded Room.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Yes.
All 10 hours of it. That's pretty impressive going.
The show that has broken Tom Holland.
Yes.
Yes. Well, he's taken a year off acting after this.
That's a news / what have you been watching crossover. Because that is a news story. He did give an interview where he said he's going to have a year break. But when you see the whole thing, you kind of know what he means, because it is an incredible acting performance, and he has to do a lot on this show. And as we alluded to last week, don't spoil it for yourselves. Don't Google it. Don't look it up on Wikipedia. Don't find out the name of the book that it's based on. Fast forward through the credits. Just skip the credits entirely.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Even though there's a beautiful title sequence, the animation is fantastic, but skip through because there's a mention of the name of the book in that.
What, the opening credits?
The opening credits.
Oh, I didn't see it. I just skipped through it anyway.
And it is an absolute, absolutely fascinating show, because it's so weird, the structure of it. It starts off as one thing, then things develops in a certain way, then it goes completely differently, and then it all ends up being something completely different from the beginning. It's insane. And the other thing I'd say was, I caught up with the episode of our friendly rivals on the Wittertainment crew, Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode, and they had one of the stars of the show, Jason Isaacs, and hello to Jason Isaacs. And Jason Isaacs, on an interview on their show, gave away the whole concept of the show.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
In an extraordinary way, what? Right? Yeah. So don't listen to that.
Don't listen to Entertainment either. This is good
advice.
Much
as I love that show.
Yeah.
Just another reason to subscribe to Pilot Plus.
That's right.
As it's known, Kermode and Mayer's take, as it's now known.
And less than the price of a soaring malt loaf.
Exactly. So it's really funny. In fact, completely blithely giving away the whole concept of the show. And I thought that is really funny.
Silly Billy.
That he's such a maverick, Jason Isaacs, and I absolutely love him. But you know, yeah, didn't even think that was an issue. But but you will get the way the show is structured and the way it plays out. Absolutely, the less you know about it, the better. And she is brilliant as well. I think she has to do lots of fascinating stuff as well.
What, Seyfried?
Seyfried, yeah. So it's absolutely bold. Thing, one of the boldest things for a long time on TV, I think, in the end. I really enjoyed it. I would say my suspicions that, do you remember last week in my review where I said I thought it was weird how some of the scenes, like, really long, go for quite a long time and don't seem that crucial story wise, a bit of character building. Having watched the whole thing, I still feel that. Like, it could have been done in 7 episodes, yeah. But 10 is a lot. But the show is a lot.
Maybe
as well.
If it was just 7, he wouldn't feel broken.
I guarantee he probably wouldn't have done. Yeah, it could have excised some of the episodes. Yeah, maybe to help him. But it's quite something, the whole thing. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you I once bumped into Tom Holland in Richmond Park?
Literally bumped into him, or just saw him,
stalked him?
Yeah, it would be more accurate that he ran past me.
Ah,
but okay. As I was shoving a massive ice, like, I don't know why, I never do this, but I was having an ice cream because it was really hot. And in a very inelegant way, I decided to shove the whole thing, like with half the cone in my mouth, just as this guy. And the thing is, I in the distance, I thought, oh, he's kind of cute. I just didn't even register it was him.
With a cornetto sticking out of your gob.
Literally coming out like a unicorn, like about via my mouth. And he just like glanced up and I just couldn't even smile because my mouth was so distorted from the ice cream. So that was fun. Yeah. That's my Tom Holland story.
It's good. It's good story.
Good little Tom Holland story. Yeah. Yeah. You must have been. Have you interviewed met Tom Holland?
He was at Empire's 500th episode.
I was there. Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah. In fact, I met him briefly. He was. Yeah. He seems a lovely guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does.
Anyway, The Crowded Room, Apple TV Plus, watch it now.
I am quite impressed that among all the other things you've watched this week, you just cranked out just a casual 10 hours of The Crowded Room.
Well, no, I'd already watched 5 episodes.
Oh, so just 5
and
hours.
The fifth,
that's
fifth
fine.
Episode is the, one of the crucial ones. So yeah, I think 4 or 5 I had to watch still. And it is very addictive viewing because I think that the clever thing, I'll stop banging on about it in a minute, but the clever thing about this extraordinary structural device they use is that it keeps you hooked brilliantly. If they hadn't have gone for that, if they'd gone another way, then it wouldn't have been nearly as addictive as it is. So,
well, you're talking about the interview, like the technique of having the interview and flashing back to his past.
Yes. And how what that all means and how he ended up. What does that mean to how he's ended up? All we can say about it is he's in prison. He's being investigated for a crime that you see in the very first scene and she's interrogating him about it.
Mm.
And that's all we can really say. And then all the reasons why, it flashes, him flashing back to incidents from his life, the way they turn out to be relevant is the key to the whole thing.
Mm. You've made me want to watch more.
Oh, I'm definitely going to watch more.
Yeah.
Once I've watched many other things. But it's on
my list. Coming from you of all people, you're having a go at me for having time to watch 4 or 5 hours extra TV. Coming from a man who watched, no doubt has watched all of that thing on Apple TV Plus coming up, season 2 of that sci-fi show.
I haven't got to it. I haven't watched a single one.
I am shocked.
I know. No one's more upset about this than me. But I have had people flinging screeners at me left, right and centre. And I've just had so much stuff I've had to watch. I've not had a chance to watch what may or may not be Foundation season 2 on Apple.
Yeah.
Also, there's another Apple show on the screening portal, which I've been really looking forward to. A new show.
What is it?
Which is there.
Yes.
And I haven't had a chance to watch that either.
Oh, I think it's the same one I'm excited about.
Let's not be vague. Just say the name. Come on.
Can I say it? Oh, I can say it because I'm real-time Idris Elba plane hijacking show.
I'm going to watch that this weekend, I think.
The whole thing is on the screen.
And you know what will be coming quite soon is For All Mankind, season 4.
Yes, although I haven't caught up yet. I'm in season 3?
Yeah.
You need to Or two? Is it 2? I think I'm in 2.
Are you on Mars yet?
Get your ass to Mars. I'm back on Arnold again.
Do you know what?
Okay. Hang on.
No spoilers. Yeah.
Hilariously, but I've just got to say that to the people that have tweeted us, this is the time code when it got mentioned.
I said nothing. Mm-hmm. I have in no way mentioned.
Yeah, it's a nice little teeing it up.
I have in no way mentioned that Arnold retweeted me and referred to me as his friend on Twitter last night. I didn't bring it up. You did. Yeah. That's, you know, so that's fine. Mm. It's very nice that Arnold, or let's be honest, his social media manager, referred to me as his friend. His close personal friend.
I reckon his social media manager showed him on his iPhone.
Oh, without a doubt.
Should I say this to yeah.
And he went, James, my friend.
Yeah.
And
so I don't think it was even a social media manager. I think
it was Arnold.
Arnold was in his Easy Boy with his piglet and his donkey nearby, just like, you know, caressing them. He had his iPad, which he can barely work because he's just pressing, because his fingers are so big, he's pressing like about multiple buttons at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I think he read it and he's like, yeah, James, my friend.
Yeah, that's right.
You could be in season two of Arnold. Is that what it's called?
FUBAR, I think you're a very... Well, I could be in season two of the documentary.
No,
that's true.
I'm in the documentary. No,
I'm not going to be in FUBAR. That'd be weird.
No, it's going to be looking at reactions on the documentary to the series, and you're going to be there.
I was actually quite surprised that the big 9,000-word feature I wrote on him did not feature more prominently in his three-part documentary. Yeah. Perhaps its own episode.
I hope you in some way refer to yourself as Pilot TV's James, so that when he does mention it on the documentary, we get a bit of a shout-out.
Well, if he invites me on, I will 100% identify myself that way. That will happen.
I identify as being the Pilot
TV. I identify as being James and I from the Pilot TV podcast, Arnold's close personal friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
So is that what you've been watching? The tweets that are on
I've been watching Arnold Schwarzenegger's Twitter feed.
Holding that in front of your face.
Ever scouring
since,
it. Permanently.
Ever since he put that tweet up, he's just been watching it.
That's all I do.
That's
all I do.
Notifications.
That's it.
Shameless.
So you haven't been watching Foundation. What have you been watching?
Well, I can't talk about it. Or more specifically, I'm not going to tell you.
Wait.
Oh, God. Come on, don't be frustrated.
No. I'm not going to tell you what I've been watching until later in the show.
Oh, okay.
All right. Intriguing.
Yeah.
You've reeled us in.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
You can tell the listeners as well as just us.
Once the show is over, I'll tell you two, and that'll be it.
That'd be weird. He just puts the mics off.
Weird. This is a weird crossover between what you've been watching and some later new phase of the show.
That is the quote for the podcast. He is weird.
I like to keep you guessing. I don't want you to get bored of the podcast, is why I do this. So I like to throw a curveball every now and then, as you're going to discover once we get through this segment.
Oh my God, it's going to be more Naked Attraction, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's not. It's actually not. I think Boyd has had the you know, he's
yeah, he's taken on
he's
the
got that bit covered. Yeah.
With your
or not
Nacho. Right.
Okay, with Nacho, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes, fine. With your Nacho porn star screening.
Still don't have access to that.
No.
I mean, it's on TV now, so Lionsgate Plus.
I don't think I've got Lionsgate.
Check it. I think it's on Prime Video. It's like
fine.
It's like a portal on Prime Video. Yeah. It's like something
you can find it. Anyway,
if you jump through the portal, you get nakedness and
the portal,
gratuitous stripping.
That's what it is. Okay, speaking of gratuitous stripping, what have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching Amal Rajan's interview with Philip Schofield because everyone was talking about it. It was BBC. It was after, James, there was a bit of, you hopefully will know, there's been some stuff going on with Philip Schofield.
I'm aware.
Leaving this morning, etc. Let's not get into it. But
can worms.
Yeah. No, I'm not even getting the can opener out, but I'm just saying that.
I mean, Amal, you've already got it out.
He did an interview for the BBC, and I have to say, Amal did an amazing job, I thought, with what was it was a difficult interview to do, the subject matter, also when the interviewee is clearly very distressed and in mental anguish. But I thought he handled it very well. It was fascinating. Anyone who's sort of like been keeping up to date with the story, which I don't know if many Pilot listeners are, it was a bit of a talking point. It was a culture talk about last week.
Pilot listeners are more into pop culture and the news than necessarily the Pilot TV host is.
See, I use James as the benchmark, so then I always feel I have to apologise.
No.
Was Philip Schofield the one who was famously punched in the face by the lead singer of Carter the Unstoppable Sex Machine?
What?
Famously.
Famously Boyd.
I don't know if he was. I don't know that story.
Do you not? I'm going to look it up. I'm going to Google it now.
It's so famous, Googling, they're both Googling.
Madly Googling.
This will definitely be the first thing that comes up when I Google Philip Schofield.
Absolutely true. Carter USM take Philip Schofield out on stage of Smash.
Yes. Oh my God.
I think he made a snarky comment about their music.
Wow.
And the singer came up and lamped him.
Brilliant.
Well, he's had bigger problems since then, it's safe to say. And that is the least of his issues. Yeah. Anyway, so that was very interesting. Job well done by Amal. Also, I haven't watched anything new because I'm addicted to rewatching Veep. So I'd watched like a couple of seasons back when it was originally on, and then I must have just lost it, like didn't carry on watching something else. And I've got so far into it now that I can't, every day now I'm watching it, I can't get enough of it. And I didn't know that Hugh Laurie was in it. So more obsessed.
Veep is brilliant. Veep is one of the
writing on that, the acting.
A lot of the writers from Succession, of course, worked on it.
Yes.
And it's fantastic. Absolutely. And stars the greatest living woman, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah. And Julia with Tony Hale are the greatest partnership, I think,
brilliant. It's one of my favourite shows, yeah. It's a show that's easily forgotten about because, I don't know, it didn't quite get the... Because it's a half-hour comedy, very strictly, didn't quite get the kind of attention that Succession itself, for example, got, or even hear the thick of it. Because it was kind of the American version of the thick of it to some extent. Armando Iannucci was the showrunner. And I feel like even though it ran for, what, 7 seasons maybe?
I'm on season 4.
Every single episode is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. All killer, no filler. Yeah. I urge everyone to start watching it.
Yeah, it's a proper triumph of a show. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus has got a really good film coming out soon, I believe, directed by Nicole Holofcener. Is a legend. Absolute legend, yeah. One of the greatest.
She's got a great podcast, so yeah, all round.
Yeah.
You know when we were talking about Arnold and we were saying he could do absolutely anything?
Wait. We're talking about Julia Louis-Dreyfus being amazing.
There's a segue here. I'm saying, remember we said Arnold can do everything. He's in politics, bodybuilding.
When we
reviewed Arnold, we said, I bet he doesn't have a podcast. He has a podcast.
Yes.
He has a podcast.
Right. Everyone's
better than us at everything.
My close personal friend,
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Has Stallone got a podcast as well?
Probably. They've all got podcasts.
Yeah. I interviewed Julia Louis-Dreyfus once.
Was she amazing?
Name drop. If you asked the question, who have you been most excited to interview in your entire professional life, she'd be in the top five.
Really?
Yeah.
Arnold would be my number one.
Of course he would, yeah. Who'd be your number one? It would be Arnie, yeah, we know. but I'm much more excited to interview Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah, she was fantastic.
Has she ever referred to you as her close personal friend?
Early days. Well, I could say yes. I mean,
No one would know.
I don't think the recording still exists.
That's fair.
But yeah.
Anyway, everyone should watch Veep. It's really good if you haven't already.
How did you stumble upon it? Is it they're repeating it on Sky Atlantic or something?
It's on catch. Well, I don't know. It's just all there.
But you just decided to watch it rather than
out of nowhere. You just said, I'm going to watch
it. You didn't go home, switch on the TV, and Veep was on.
No. Oh, okay. I sort it out.
Oh, fine.
Okay. I think, yeah, I don't know why I got into it again, but it is brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Grand. Super.
You're not answering the question at all.
I'm not answering the question at all. Anyway. Also, we get to be Maverick now as well, because as you will notice, I didn't share any kind of postbag thing with you today because I entirely forgot.
Yeah.
So we don't have a postbag question. So instead of that, I'm going to delve into the postbag and do a live triage.
Oh, Lord.
So you're going to have to bear with me.
Last Pilot Plus, your triage system actually worked. I thought it worked quite well.
Well, I had to go through afterwards and I may have tidied up the postbag a little bit afterwards because basically what happened is Sophie had been off on holiday and she came back and whacked in a load of stuff that got into the generic Pilot account and it all got mixed up together. It was chaos. It was
before it was so well organised.
That's right, yeah. So I blame Sophie entirely for disrupting the triage system.
Justice for Sophie.
Indeed. So we had a follow-up message from, you remember a while back we were talking about subtitles?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes? We talked about subtitles quite a lot. And why the youths watch everything with subtitles.
You hate them.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of people were saying, well, that's because these young people are always on the TikToks and it has subtitles on by default.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's actually the reason. But we had a message here from someone called Jacqueline Robinson. And Jacqueline says, hello, Pod. James recently asked why people watch TV with subtitles, even when it's in their native language. I am 36 years old with good hearing and I keep subtitles on by default. Ooh. First, movie and TV soundscapes are more cluttered than they were in the past, with all kinds of ambient noise either added or kept in to achieve a more immersive and or realistic experience, making it harder to catch all dialogue. Second, performances have become more naturalistic and actors simply don't enunciate as much. Third, with streaming, we can access movies and TV from around the world, and it's thankfully common now to hear more diverse accents. I'm in America, but prefer shows out of Britain, Ireland, Australia, etc., along with non-English stuff. Fourth, despite the speculation about attention spans, I am usually very focused and want to make sure I catch every word of dialogue. Finally, I prefer to keep my TV volume low because I don't want to assault my own ears or bother my housemates and neighbours with loud crashes, explosions, gunfire, etc., just so I can hear the actual dialogue. Those are my top reasons, and I've found that once you start routinely watching with subtitles, it's difficult to go without them. Mm. Apologies for the extremely long explanation. Just to end by saying I absolutely love the podcast and would give you a 5-star rating every week. Bless you.
But crucially,
have you done that? Because if you haven't, then, seriously.
But that's a very comprehensive list. And do you know what I have to say? That I've noticed that there have been a number of times that I've been rewinding stuff because the actors have mumbled in that way that we do in real life. But actually, I haven't quite caught what they were saying. So, yeah, actually, maybe I should get the subtitles.
Well, you know what? The last show, one of the last shows I had to watch with subtitles was the Succession finale after I'd already seen it once, because there's a scene right at the end with Tom and Shiv where Tom almost whispers something to Shiv.
Oh, yeah, what was that?
And you're like, what is it? Well, it's a spoiler.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I turned on the subtitles to get
I rewound it a few times. I remember that.
Yeah, and there are quite a few lines of dialogue in Succession actually throughout the whole recent run where they're almost deliberately whispered or kind of, and you really have to strain to listen. So, but it's also the classic example of why, despite all of that very, very interesting and completely understandable reasons to use subtitles, I still find it annoying because it does anticipate the timing of the dialogue delivered by the characters. That's what I can't get around. We had that experience, James and I had the experience of watching this show, which we can't talk about, just to be really super annoying again.
What's it called?
Where there was a group of us watching it in the office of a streaming company and they had the subtitles on. Yeah. I was like, but this is telling us what's about to be said.
I was furious about the whole thing.
So I am with you on that one. I do find that annoying. Yeah.
I may or may not have complained.
Going forward, I think we can't we can't mention anything that we can't mention.
We can't mention things, is what you're saying.
Don't talk about anything that you can't mention because it's annoying.
I think you just have to live with that.
No, we're annoying.
On behalf of the listeners. It's too late.
This whole being ambiguous and
when's it going to stop? People might say it's annoying that I keep name dropping. I mean, yeah, we're talking about
true. Oh, no, we're all entirely annoying.
I feel like if we stop doing everything that annoys the listeners, the podcast would just be an hour and a half of dead air. But I will say on to this point, so one of our listeners, and sorry, I can't remember your name, did send me to a link on Twitter, which was a video of one of the publications. They spoke to someone who actually does the dialogue mixes for film and TV. And she gave an incredibly long and comprehensive answer, which touched on a lot of this, which is very much that, yes, absolutely right. People do go for more naturalistic performances, which means they don't project in the way they did in the sort of days of yore. And in addition, it's also to do with dynamic range as well. So if you have an explosion, that explosion needs to sound louder than obviously speech, but you have a limit to how loud you can make things. So instead of making the explosion super loud so it blows the roof off the place, they bring the dialogue down in the mix to keep a large dynamic range between the explosion and the dialogue. So that brings the dialogue down. Also, the fact that where audio used to be mastered for like mono or then stereo, now it's often mastered for like 70-channel Atmos in a theatre, and all of that has to be down-mixed to 7.1, 5.1 surround stereo mono. So you're losing clarity as you down-mix it all. And most people only have stereo speakers, right? And then just to complicate matters, Boyd's got a screen the size of fucking Mount Everest, so the speakers are probably massive as well. But most normal human beings have a flat screen TV with tiny weeny little speakers.
Yeah,
and because they're in the back, they're facing the back wall as well. So all of these things will serve to muddy the sound. So unless you've got like a massive Dolby Atmos system, I imagine it is quite hard to hear the dialogue.
That's quite interesting, actually.
So there are many, many different reasons why dialogue is harder to hear, but it is legitimately, authentically, much harder to hear nowadays than it was in days past.
Cool. Oh, well, that's reassuring because I thought we were just all going deaf.
Yeah. However, I still refuse to have subtitles on general principle because it ruins everything.
Of course.
Yes. Anyway, so that was a question. I'm going to pull out another one. So we're actually almost doing a postbag, a mini postbag section.
Even though
last week's Pilot Plus was a postbag special, I didn't make a big enough dent in the postbag, so we're just doing a couple here.
Just do whatever you like.
I mean, first of all, you had your rustling coat on, right? Which if it was one of us, you would have castigated us and insisted.
But I got to strip it off, and that was thematically consistent with
PTSD,
the show.
Yeah, FYI. And now he's like, you know, running.
I urge you never.
James, never do that.
Sorry. Okay, I got another message here.
Go on.
I'll pull this out because anyway, I don't know who it's from because the name is.
I think also enough less of pulling it out. Yeah.
Sorry, you can't say pulling it out in the same sentence monster. As we talked about the full Monty. Hi, James, Boyd and Kay. Just wondering what avatars you all use on your logins when you go on Prime Video /Netflix, etc. This is a great question. I noticed they have characters from The Expanse on Prime Video, looking to change mine. So is James masquerading as Amos Burton? Is Boyd considering a Sandman character for his Netflix avatar? Is there a Kardashian on Disney Plus for Kay to appear as? She would fit their KK naming system after all.
I did not know this was a thing.
Changing avatars?
I just use the default like little whatever green button it is on Netflix or whatever.
You're such a maverick.
Oh yeah, I had no idea that you can choose your own now. But now I know you can. I'll have a look.
I also was oblivious to it until my nieces got hold of, because we were at the time when you could share the Netflix thing. They had changed it, and they changed their mum, my sister, to Claire Foy's The Queen.
Right.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And then for me, they chose a orangutan.
Wow.
There wasn't an angry ferret, presumably. So
yeah. No, it definitely wasn't one of those. Yeah, and then, yeah, so
an
that was
orangutan.
Quite amusing. Yeah. Playful. Yeah. Fun okay. and playful.
One, yes. one
that's they're playful, that's what.
Yeah. That's my interpretation
yeah.
of it.
You're sticking to it. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, well, what was yours, James?
Well, so my Disney Plus avatar is The Mandalorian. My Netflix avatar was at one point Geralt of Rivia, obviously.
Of course.
But do you know what? My Amazon Prime avatar actually is exactly what she said. It is Amos Burton from The Expanse. That is absolutely
who
true.
Who plays Amos Burton in the show?
It's Wes Chatham.
Okay.
You know him too well.
Yeah. I actually do have Amos Burton as my Prime avatar. So that's why I like that question, because I thought that's some pretty good insight right there.
Good question.
I'll give it to Larry David, I think.
Yeah, you should available. Do that.
Is Larry David available as one?
I have no idea, but if he is...
If he is,
I'm on it.
That's the one you're taking.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Right, should we do another question? Should we move
yes.
on? What do you want
Let's
to do?
Let's do one more.
You want to do one more?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to pick one at random, and it is from Philip. Philip says... Hi guys, love the pod. I always listen when I'm out running, splitting the show into two halves to make sure I go out twice a week. Cunning. So thanks for launching Pilot Plus. My knees are in bits, but I'm fitter than ever. On that note, my tediously linked question is, who are the team's favourite sports people in TV shows?
Oh, in TV shows.
Could be a regular cast member or a one-off cameo. Obviously, the correct answer is Roy Kent, but I look forward to hearing your views. There you go. This is Philip from Belfast.
Ooh, that's...
What's a favorite? What's the wording again?
Sports people. Favorite sports people in TV shows. So presumably meaning fictional sports people right. as opposed to actual sports people who are starring in TV shows.
Okay. That's a bit harder.
Yeah, that is quite hard. Because it's obviously Ted Lasso is...
Yeah.
That's full of sports
it's
people.
Full of sports
so
people.
Yeah, Roy Kent would have been my obvious, my go-to answer
I didn't
this.
Really watch... You were a fan of Glee, weren't you, James?
Glee?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I did actually watch most of the first season of Glee.
Who's the... Isn't the coach... What's her name? The one with the whistle?
Oh, yes, the coach with the whistle.
Her. What's her name?
Coach. I don't remember.
I know what you mean, yeah.
I don't remember the character's name.
Right, let me look it up while
I don't remember the character's name.
A League of Their Own was very good.
Yes, they are sports people.
Yeah, they are sports
That's
people.
That's a good
show. Okay. Sue Sylvester, that was her character.
Oh, yeah, she was
Sue
yes.
Sylvester.
Played by.
Yes.
Played
the great
by.
Jane Lynch, isn't it?
Jane Lynch. Because Bemisole Kumelo is in.
My personal friend.
Yeah, is in A League of Their Own. Okay, did you realise that?
Yeah, I did. She's not my personal friend, by the way. I just interviewed her. And in the similar vein to James and Boyd, then say they're my besties.
Yeah, the British star of Famalan.
And also Black Ops.
Black Ops, exactly. Yeah, but that's, yeah. So I wonder what other sports-based shows was. I mean, I go back to the days of The Manageress, which was a kind of forerunner, almost in a way, of Ted Lasso, which was a drama. Sherry Lungi, I believe, played the first...
Sherry Lungi? God, that's the name for
her. Yeah, Sherry Lungi played the first ever female football manager. And which still hasn't happened to this day. I mean, there's lots of female football managers of women's teams, but there still isn't you know, it'd be amazing to see a British woman managing a male's football team. Mm. But that's what that was about. That's what that show was about, The Manageress. And was kind of one of the first dramas, certainly that I was aware of, to be set in the world of football. And there was that Sky One Dream Team, but that was always kind of like slightly too cheap to ever make the football action vaguely
God,
believable.
That's a blast from the past. Yeah. Dream Team.
So yeah, those things.
I mean, obviously sports shows are not my absolute go-to, but Coach Taylor, Friday Night Lights. Mm. Failing that, Tim Riggins, if we actually have to have someone who plays the game. But Friday Night Lights is full of sportsmen. They're all great. Saracen, some great people in there, Jason Shree. Yeah. Any Glow stands here? If Beth were here, she would almost certainly stand for Glow.
Yeah, true.
Which, you know, it's an entertainment sports, but still a sport.
Oh, completely, yeah.
Did either of you watch Ballers, The Rocks? The Rock
I watched
show?
Some of it. Didn't love it. It was a bit like, what was that annoying show? It was like... Entourage. It had that similar tone to Entourage that I found quite irritating.
Entourage, a show that at the time I remember enjoying, but now it has aged spectacularly badly.
Particularly the film. The film was
a disaster.
Oh my
God. It's excruciating. You almost just can't watch it now.
Sex and the City 2 and Entourage, two of the worst films. Both spun off from HBO shows.
Yeah, so, true. Yeah. Would Cobra Kai, would they class as sportsmen?
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a karate tournament.
Yeah.
So Miguel, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, good. We've semi half-heartedly answered that question. If you would like your question, you know, read out here or even on the Pilot Plus podcast, then do send them in to us at Pilot TV Pod via DM on Instagram or Twitter, or to me directly, thus taking full advantage of the triage system, at James C. Dyer on Instagram. Close personal friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can find me on there. Right, shall we move on to the news? What's been happening in the news, people?
News. Big Boys Series 2 has started filming.
Has it?
That's been announced. And the reason why I know that was because I was on the set watching it with my own eyes, and I can confirm they are back, and it is brilliant. So I'm excited about the return. I can't say anything more than that, obviously, though.
Say more than that.
All right. I had a good time. It was good. And I got to chat to Jack Rook, which was
The creator.
The creator.
Star of the previously aforementioned Pilot TV.
Yes, our 200th live episode where he did the Storytellers Masterclass.
There you go. Yeah.
He mentioned that and he said, say hi to you guys.
Hi, Jack.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, I was nearly going to be on set of a TV show this week. I was invited and then immediately uninvited. It was Naked Attraction, yes.
Slash the Full Monty Series 2.
100%, yeah. No, I was invited on set of a show and I was really excited about it because it's a show I really like. And then I was immediately uninvited. So it's not happening now.
And you're going to tell us?
I don't know that I'm allowed to say what it was.
Oh, James, but, this is what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's it. I'm not allowed to say
American or British? Yeah,
I can't say. Well, I can say it. It was American. But yes, I'm not doing
annoying.
It. It's not happening.
At all? Or just, I just
I know that. I didn't. It's just
they made a horrendous mistake.
Yeah, that's it. No. They were going to invite me on there. Oh, God, no, not him. Anyone else. So the day clearly is still going ahead, but I'm not allowed to go.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Okay.
This is another frustrating.
Another annoying.
And also, you know what? As almost certainly happened, is that he's got invited to this thing, he's been excited about it, and then he's realised that at some point he's slagged off someone. Classic, like when he slags stuff on him, he goes, and next week we're interviewing the cast member for it. You're like, oh God.
Yeah.
I think that's actually good because it shows how, you know, completely unimpeachable our integrity is. The way, even when we have people on from shows, we will not be held back from our, you know.
Yeah, sure, that's what it is.
Impartial reviews.
Something like that.
Anyway, TV news.
The other bit of news I wanted to say, I'm grabbing this before any of you can say it, is that an exciting bit of Ted Lasso news. They put out a tweet with a picture of Nate, Roy, and the coach, who we now know is called... No, what was his name? It was revealed, wasn't it?
Beard.
Willis.
Something. Willis Beard.
Oh, yeah, his actual name, yeah.
And with a simple line, smells like potential.
Yes,
Boyd was right in his...
Crucially... Nick Mohammed retweeted it with just the zipper mouth emoji, meaning he's saying nothing.
Well, were you saying I got it right?
I was just about to say, Boyd all along had said that there would be a spin-off, most likely around Roy. He was constantly saying
it. Yes, who could possibly have guessed that would be the case?
Don't be sad.
I don't remember you guessing it.
Yeah.
Those words never came out of your mouth.
I'm pretty sure we all said there's clearly going to be a spin-off.
You never said it. And James has desire to always be right and always be, you know, in the know, has just been exposed, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well done,
like
boys.
Like the full Monty, he's been exposed.
Yes, that is right.
And Nacho.
Yeah.
Other news, Doctor Who news. Bonnie Langford
Legend.
Is back. James, you're looking at me blankly.
I'm going to guess she was Peter Davidson's companion. Would I be correct?
No.
Sylvester McCoy's.
Well done.
Yes!
She crossed over the 6th and 7th Doctors.
Is that the two of them?
Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy. Colin Baker, often forgotten, and Sylvester McCoy. She had a cameo in Jodie Whittaker's final episode. A lot of the old companions and Doctors had cameos, fantastic cameos. I love that final episode, by the way, of Jodie Whittaker's Doctor. She said, she's bringing back the character of Melanie Bush. And Russell T. Davis, intriguingly, says, this is the most important thing. This is what Russell T. Davis said, crucially. Open those TARDIS doors wide because Bonnie's back. What an honour, delight and hoot to welcome back the character of Melanie after too long away. And this isn't just a cameo. Bonnie is right in the thick of the action, battling monsters and chaos and cliffhangers right at the Doctor's side, just like the old days. There you go. Stuff.
She is a delightful human being. I've done a photo shoot with her. She was completely lovely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Famously a delightful human being. Bonnie Langford.
Bonnie Langford.
What news do you have, James?
What news do I hear? Ahsoka has a date now that's coming on August the 23rd, if you were excited about that, Kay. I know you were.
Mm-hmm.
What else has happened? Perry Mason.
Cover story of the new issue of Empire.
Yeah, she is on the new issue of Empire. I should probably plug that, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Well,
Ahsoka is on the cover of the new issue of Empire with some gold foil as well. It's a very snazzy little cover.
I happen to have a copy of it here.
Oh, let's see. Hold it up.
There you go. Nice. That's Ahsoka.
It has got gold foil.
A super Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Very good.
Including my last in the series. If you want stuff, if you're feeling bereft after the end of Barry, then I give you four shows to watch to make you feel less bereft.
What were the shows, Boyd?
Well,
give me two of them. Don't give everything away. Give me two of the shows.
You know I don't like to give too much away. He says, frantically thumbing through.
Because you don't remember what you wrote.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
Because Bill Hader, of course, appeared
indeed
fantastically. And the co-creator of Barry produced, directed a lot of episodes of Curb. Arrested Development. Because of Henry Winkler. Mr. In Between, which we mentioned on this very podcast last week.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch that.
Yes, on Disney Plus. And a show called Hindsight, which was the first big show that Sarah Goldberg appeared in. And that is on Amazon Freevee, I think you'll find.
Everyone go buy the new issue of Empire magazine out now.
Yeah, that's right. And all good and evil news.
There's actually also, there's a really good, genuinely, as opposed to the non genuine, really good pieces in Empire about Black Mirror.
Yeah,
really interesting to
which
and I will be hosting his Q&A on Monday.
I saw some newspapers had picked up on the pre-press for Empire.
Yes, they
and
had.
And they'd sort of maybe twisted the head, or, you know, taken it out of context, and he was displeased, but obviously he was very happy to do the interview with Empire in the first place.
Yeah, that was a nice plug.
Mm. Yeah.
Very good. Well done, James. Well done, Nick.
I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Perry Mason, which by all accounts had an excellent second season. We reviewed the first one on this podcast, has been cancelled. More Perry Mason.
Which we kind of completely ignored, didn't we? But that was a screener situation, I think. And it was also moved. It moved around a couple of times on the schedule, which is my excuse for not.
Well, it's now moved off the schedule entirely.
Yeah.
So there is no more Perry Mason at all.
Yeah, okay.
What else has happened? So did you see this? So there was an announcement that there will be more shows being removed from Disney Plus. They've said.
Really?
Yes. So, you know, they noted that they will be moving certain produced content from their streaming services. So I guess there'll be more coming. They've obviously culled a few already, but they're going to be axing more shows. I wonder what will be next under the knife.
Disgrace.
Yeah.
There's also, talking of footballers on TV, in TV stuff, here's a story for you, James. Have you heard of Lionel Messi?
Oh, yeah.
He's a footballer.
Yeah.
He's the best footballer in the world. There has been for the last few years. I mean, I actually think that Ronaldo, but that's not true. He is teaming up with Sony Music Entertainment and Atlantis Animation to bring an animated series based on himself, Kay. A CG animated series inspired by Lionel Messi himself. Quite extraordinary scenes. So basically, there'll be a character based on him, young Messi, overcoming titanic challenges.
Yeah. Okay.
Has Messi moved over to the American team?
He's joining Miami. Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah, everyone thought he was going to join the Saudi Arabian
league. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
Football, leather ball, kicking.
Yes. Okay, good. Any more news?
Not from me.
No.
It's not been a big news week.
No.
It has not been a big news week.
I think we've covered it all.
All right, fine.
James, question actually. You know the bandage you've got on your finger, is that just for attention now? Or
yeah, pretty much.
Needed?
Just for attention.
Okay. He's holding up, it's basically like Mr. Bump, but on his finger.
Yes, I have a bandage on my finger, and really it is just here to emphasise how much I cannot play the guitar for Kay, regardless.
No,
of
I'm
going to
insist upon it. I can't wait. He's going to serenade us all.
I mean,
it's going to be great.
Enough.
I mean, he's not, but that's fine.
Now talk about yourself in the third person.
Okay. right. Shall we move on to this week's reviews?
Yep.
Let's move on to this week's reviews. And first up this week, we have The Full Monty. Should I put my jacket back on so I can take it off again?
And your pants, please, James. Crucially.
Yeah, just for HR reasons. this is the return of the male stripping troupe that proved a breakout hit back in the 90s. Though this actually features far less stripping than you might be expecting. Kay was bitterly disappointed by that, obviously, especially after missing out on the other penis show, Nacho. Anyway, this limited series picks up with the gang decades later, only to find that life in Sheffield is not, frankly, all roses and full frontal nudity. Boydie. It is taking all of my willpower not to tee this one up with a quote from Withnail and I, because that might be too much even for me. But let's take a lateral move on that and just say, is this a worthy successor to the hit film, or is the return of Monty just a terrible stunt? I should say, that's an excellent joke. The fact that neither of you got it is your failing and not mine. Is Monty a terrible stunt?
What is the joke?
Oh, is that Monty the character from With Nail and
Yeah, and
sorry.
So, right. Yes. And so I this is why I preambled it by mentioning With Nail, because I didn't think you'd get it and you still didn't get it.
Yeah.
Even explaining it, I'm not
I mean, it's just I think
it.
We're blank because it's just not funny.
It's hilarious. What's wrong with you? Anyway.
I think Jake was generous.
I rather enjoyed this. Spoiler alert. Getting to the crux of the matter before the full in-depth analysis. I first of all, it's 25 effing years, believe it or not, since the Four Monty came out in cinemas and became a massive hit. You know, fairly low budget British film about a bunch of working class men who end up stripping off in the finale famously. And I think just the whole idea of when this was first mooted, there was going to be like a TV reboot. I was like, you know, what is it going to be? Like a smattering of the original cast, a new generation probably coming up with a strip show. You know, I thought I wasn't that excited by the whole idea. But actually, what Simon Beaufort has done, the writer of the original show, and he's the joint showrunner with Alice Nutter, who's the co-writer of this, what he's done is he has somehow, along with the producers, reunited pretty much every single cast member from the film. Robert Carlyle, Mark Addy, Tom Wilkinson, Steve Huson, Paul Barber, Hugo Spear, Leslie Sharp, the great Leslie Sharp, they're all fucking in it. Basically, if you pardon my language, which alone is an extraordinary feat, I think, to come up with. And they must have had to come up with, Simon Beaufort and Alice Nutter must have come up with scripts and ideas that were good enough to entice all of those actors. Because let's face it, like Robert Carlyle is not like, you know, he doesn't want for new roles. He's a busy man. He's in loads of stuff. As you know, Leslie Sharp, she's in loads of stuff. She's in the news thing coming up, series two of the thing coming up soon on Channel 4. And I think they have come up with a pretty relevant, kind of interestingly subversive, quite political show on Disney Plus, let's bear in mind. So kudos to Disney Plus for commissioning it and letting them create it in this way. That has a lot to say about the state of Britain right now without sounding too pompous about it. You know, that how hard it is for people living, you know, working class people particularly, living, some of them living on, in poverty, basically,
Up north.
In the north.
It feels very much like a levelling up commentary, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely a lot of references to, you know, stuff that, let's face it, this Tory government, people pardon my expression, have been responsible for. And it does not pull its punches. And I think that, because one of the things that is easy to forget about the original film was it was pretty political in itself. And that is, for me, the most important and satisfying thing about this show is that it sticks with that. And in fact, I would say builds on it and makes this even more of an angry kind of almost pit of agitprop kind of storytelling. And on top of that, I found the way that the characters are still there and kind of still know each other quite cleverly believable.
Yes.
Plausible.
Definitely.
So there's like a cafe that two of them run that, you know, one of them, a couple of them frequent. And why wouldn't they? You know, that makes sense.
100% you believe these people are still mates.
Yeah.
You know, in and out of each other's lives.
Right. Leslie Sharp's character is now the headmistress. Her husband is the, you know, works at the school. Mm. He's the caretaker, effectively, Mark Addy's character. So they've done a good job. If basically, if you said to me, you know, all the different elements needed to make a TV series spin-off 25 years after a film comes out, this is how to do it. I mean, I do think they've done a really good job. And the new characters are interesting as well. There's, you know, it starts off with this teenage girl who's a bit of a tearaway. She's embroiling this boy into kind of joining her. Basically, she nicks the dog from Britain's Got Talent. Britain's Got Talent dog, she nicks. Slight spoiler alert, but you know. That's right at the beginning. Kay's looking at me like I've ruined it. I don't think we'll have many complaints about that one.
Nicks a dog, I think. Nicking a dog. It's not a plot point. It's fine.
Exactly. Thank you. I found it very entertaining, satisfying, well written, well acted, well put together. I think it's good.
I agree with everything you've just said, so I won't repeat it. But I just think, you know, when we hear about these shows coming back or they're being remade, you think, oh God, really? Like, just think of something new. But actually, this is more like a what happened next, an update, and it's totally believable. And it, you know, I think it's funny. It's heartwarming and it retains a lot of the DNA of the film, like with the social commentary, as Boyd said, about, you know, how hard it is for the working class, how they're being treated under certain governments. In fact, it starts off I really like the beginning because they have this montage from the original, and then they give a summary of the time elapsed. So like 7 prime ministers and 8 Northern regeneration policies later kind of thing. So it is, you know, as Boyd said, it packs a punch, but it never becomes, I don't think, lecturing or, you know, it's never heavy handed with it. It's just subtly done in a very authentic way. And the thing I liked, you know, obviously all the characters have been reunited and it's believable, but I also like that they've refreshed it, like with the new characters who have breathed new life into this. So Destiny and her connection to the group, and also a character called Twiglet, this young boy who forms this very sweet relationship with one of the characters that I found really touching and quite poignant. And again, it was making a bigger point. And this whole thing, you know, it's like it paints a stark picture of life in the North for working class people, and just the fact that really nothing has changed, reflecting the poverty and the lack of opportunity and the apathy and stuff like that. But also the fact that there's, you know, that at the heart is like a lot of camaraderie and hardworking people who want to have jobs and whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's funny, it's heartwarming, it's welcome.
Were you disappointed with the lack of knobs?
Absolutely not. I'm not knob obsessed like you are. Like, nudity obsessed. James is
It
obsessed.
Wasn't Naked Attraction.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not Naked Attraction.
I'm just saying, they called it the full Monty. It's not
have
half
you,
Monty.
Hold on. Have you watched all 8 episodes, though?
We've watched a few. Yeah, watched maybe 6.
I mean, because there might be, it could be the very last shot.
I haven't seen the final episode. No. It could be kit off in the finale. That's absolutely true.
Knobs could be flying.
It could be full macho.
Okay, let's stop saying knobs.
But no, it's funny, isn't it? Because you think of the 1997 film as being about male strippers, but it wasn't, was it? It was about working class struggle. Mm. And that's what this show is. And I like also that this show feels fragmented, sounds like a negative word, but it's kind of like you follow different characters. Like, you wander off with Mark Addy's character Dave for an episode, and as Kay was saying, like his relationship with the little boy Twiggler, and then you'll spend some time looking at Robert Collard's Gaz, who's just being a completely shitty father. And then, you know, you follow Leslie Sharp, who's the headmistress of a school that's literally falling apart, and the fact that Hugo Spears' character Guy is kind of at the heart of that as well.
Is a massive bell end.
Yes. So yeah, I thought it was really, really interesting, surprisingly poignant, surprisingly touching. Not at all what I thought this would be going in. It's a long time since I've watched the full Monty. A long time. But it's also it's one of those really interesting things where you take an ensemble thing like that with very different find characters, and then to revisit them after so much time, there's something weirdly fascinating about that.
Yeah, I agree.
And it wasn't disappointing in any way. No. Usually it is. You're like,
I think it's better than the film, to be honest. Because I mean, I've watched it probably more recently than you. I'm not a massive fan of it. It has its moments, but I think this is better written. Because I think
they have the time as well to get into it.
I think in this case, having a longer format, having, you know, eight hours of TV, makes it slightly less glib and simplistic than the film that is at certain points. So yeah, I think it's good.
Good. The full Monty then, which comes to Disney Plus on
Wednesday, the 14th of June.
Wednesday, the 14th
of June. All drops, I believe, all 8 episodes.
Oh, all in one go?
I think so, yeah.
The full Monty, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go. That's what it is.
No flies on him.
That's right. And we're actually going to have a full Monty special episode that we're doing on here, which is a commercial thing. It's a paid-for thing by Disney. But I think
The mouse paid us
to do a special one.
My opinions are to be trusted.
To be fair, I think everyone has learned by now that these things have absolutely no bearing our reviews. Doesn't matter whether we're being paid to do a separate podcast. Doesn't matter whether they're guests on the show. We give no fucks.
James gives no fucks.
Indeed. But luckily we like this, so it all works out quite well. Anyway, let's do the next show. And next up, we have a show so epic that Sky have been teasing its release for literally months. We as a society were simply not ready for the majesty of the Ark, which seems to have kind of flickered in and out of the schedules in recent months. So Sky, I think, honestly, was just waiting for us to be in a place where we could handle the sheer operatic brilliance of this sci-fi extravaganza, which sees humanity's best and brightest reach for the stars in an attempt to colonize a distant world. It takes a particular type of person to be up to the task of reviewing a show of this magnitude. But that's okay. It is okay.
You are ridiculous, right? Go on, just get it out. Go on. Not that. Get this next line
out. We sent our official sci-fi correspondent, Kay Ribeiro,
to
feast her eyes upon the Ark, like Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Kay, is this all it was cranked up to be?
Do you know what? Go on.
Have you finished your intro?
That was it.
Yeah.
That's more or less
well,
it.
Like, more sure.
Does it jump the arc? I don't know. What do you want?
Oh, yeah, I knew there was a pun.
To be fair to him, that's quite good. As soon as you started describing the show, I was like, what are we going to next? Because I sort of zoned out for a second. I thought, oh, God, are we doing Best Interest? And then I was like, oh, God. And then I thought, that's why he went to Boyd for the full Monty first, because he's going to throw to me like a dick. All right, anyway.
Could have worked that out,
yeah, okay, fine. Have you described what it's about?
I mean, does it matter? Carry on.
Okay. So it, basically, I mean, the most of the first episode is sets up what's going on, right? So a catastrophe happens immediately, which means that they're all in jeopardy of dying. Okay.
So they're on a ship.
They're
going to colonize another planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're in hypersleep.
Yeah.
Tragedy strikes.
Exactly what he said. My thing was, I went into this open-minded because I don't want to be...
Yes, the most open-minded.
No, I really did. Because last night I thought, I don't want to be James with comedy and mainstream shows. I do want to give this a go because I knew you'd be excited about it. And I was like, no, don't be a dick, Kay. Just like, you know, whatever. And I didn't hate this. It was, you know, but I think I had some issues with it. Firstly, because the catastrophe happens immediately and we haven't established a connection with the ship, spaceship, the crew, that it's not immediately very easy to care. Okay, that's what I would say, right? I think you need to just do a bit more. I'm saying it as if you've written it, James, but a little bit more work to forge that connection.
I'll pass that on to the showrunners.
Yeah.
If I were to sum up this episode, I would basically say it's all about water systems, oxygen levels, and helmets being put on and taken off, removed.
Much like the Full Monty.
Yes, the helmets
gravity,
you wear on your head.
A bit of gravity thrown in?
Yeah, a little bit of gravity sprinkled across. But yeah, I mean, that is repeated so often, those main things. Water systems, oxygen levels, and, you know, thing. Repeated so often that by the end, I sort of did hope that the oxygen levels would run out.
Harsh but fair.
No, because the whole episode was like about this. And I was like, dude, like, there's only so much I give a shit about, like, you talking about this. Just sort it out or don't. It can't be a full episode dedicated to this. I know, obviously, essential things to, like, living. But I don't know. I wanted to ask you. To me, it didn't seem like premium space content, right?
premium space content.
Like, love it.
In terms of the caliber of performance, I have to say, I know that, you know, maybe this is a bit harsh, but there was a very strong whiff of fromage, right? Running through this, right? Just literally emanating from the screen. So I wanted to find out from you if you think it's premium, like if it's, you know, if it does, it does this sit above everything else, or would you say this is a bit average?
Well,
or
before we get onto that, I'm going to pass over to Boydie.
Okay, can I just
say one
more
thing? I'll answer that question.
One last thing, I just want to say that I did find it interesting that Richard Fleischman,
yes,
from Coronation Street, James,
yes,
wasn't there
with a mystifying Scottish accent, even
a
though
Scottish
he's from
accent
Manchester
and an eight pack.
Yeah. I mean, the scene where he gets up naked, with his eight pack is quite funny.
Because
and all the women are like, oh, like in all. By the way,
I mean, there genuinely is a reaction to someone eyeing his package.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the theme of the theme of the week, the theme of the month. Let's face it.
Yeah.
With Naked Attraction, the Full Monty, and Nachos. Now add Richard Fleischman's knob to the whole scenario.
The pain count is off the chain on TV at the moment.
It's wild. It's wild. Kay, in answer to your question of where this fits into
the
pantheon, because I like science fiction. Mm. It's not just James. I like sci-fi a lot. You know, some of my favorite films are science fiction films. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Star Wars, blah 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 blah.
I love
this
that you said that, by the way.
Deeply mediocre. I mean, there's no
good.
Other way.
I thought it was, but
it's
I wasn't
fine.
Sure if I was being.
It's fine.
Unfair.
It's like it's quite a bold device, as you said, to start with this huge, big, collapse of the spaceship that's going that colonizing people. It's the first one.
That's
the premise. It's called the Ark. And it's quite well done. Some slightly dodgy CGI sometimes. All the CGI of the people floating around and then falling down was a bit dodgy. But bold to have this thing with before you introduce the character. It's like a disaster movie in reverse. Most disaster movies, you know, that you get to meet the characters and you build up and eventually the disaster happens. This is like the disaster happens, then you get to meet the characters.
But did you care about the
characters? I didn't mind that device. And then once the characters are introduced, I was vaguely interested in some of them. I mean, there's like they're all stereotypes and things. There's a nerdy guy, there's super nerdy, there's the girl who can't stop chattering away and she's slightly annoying, or funny, whichever, depending which side of the fence you sit on. Richard Fleischman's character is a bit of a knob. And, you know, it's be pardon the pun, when he stands up, everyone's thrilled, apparently. You know what excited me most about the whole show, and this will give you some level of where I'm at with it, is that there's this guy who's like a... In fact, he's a bit of a spoiler to say much about his character. All I'd say is he's kind of like an underling figure. And he is played by, I was like, I recognise that guy. This British actor. I was like, and I took me racking my brains and finally I got it. He's called Chris Leask. And he is from The Goes Wrong Show and all the Goes Wrong plays. And he plays the idiotic props guy who fucks everything up in the and he's hilarious in all of those. In this, he is, his character is not so good, is all I'd say. But that was the most exciting thing for me, was like spotting him and working out where he was from. It's just, this feels like a mishmash of even The Expanse and of like Stargate SGI or whatever and 5,000 other, and Star Trek and, you know, millions of other different shows. And it's nothing special, is it? Come on,
but also,
James.
Like, James,
it's fine.
The thing about them taking their helmets on and off again, which just keep it on or take it off, it's like, you can't keep track of who's who as well. So it's like very hard. I mean, yeah, it's problematic.
Boydie, this is not a mediocre show. This is fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah!
I was so upset watching this because I was like, this is what Kay thinks every science fiction show is. And it is painfully regressive.
I went into it so open-minded for you. Come on.
It's no foundation, believe me. Like, first of all, the budget for this is so apocalyptically tiny. But the CGI is almost Babylon 5 level terrible. And the fucking costume design. The space helmets taken on and off wouldn't be so bad if the space helmets didn't look like they'd been created on Blue Peter. It was just, and the bit with the gravity, and they're up and they're down. And it's just like, oh my God, this is so bad. And the characters are such painfully thin archetypes and they're so cliched and the dialogue is so rote and clunky. And then it ends.
And the acting.
Oh, and the acting is appalling. The end of it, it goes like, this season on The Expanse. And it just seems to be that it's going to turn into some kind of Starbound Love Island where everyone's fucking everyone. Because that seems to be what's in store for this. And I was just, I'm never going to find out. And I can't emphasize that enough because this is so bad. But
I'm so relieved.
From the script writing to the acting to the effects to the production design, this felt 100% like one of those Sky One sci-fi imports you'd have got in the kind of early 90s, which were just awful, awful things, and I really enjoyed them at the time. But now, in 2023, it's inexcusable, not only that this exists, but that it's been renewed for a second season, which blows my absolute fucking mind. So I would say, like, on the kind of pantheon of sci-fi, this is at one end of the scale, and Foundation is at the very polar opposite end of the scale in terms of, frankly, budget, quality, script, everything.
You've used your sci-fi tokens up now with me, James.
No, this cannot be the only show we've used, because it was just the worst.
Hammy and cheesy, which is great in a sandwich.
I mean, if you compare it to...
Silo's magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, it does look cheap and cheap.
I mean, but it's not even just the budget, it's everything.
It is the case, though, that clearly enough people have watched it and enjoyed it for them to commission a second season, and it's cheap, it's cheap enough.
This is the first season.
You know Netflix's one with the unrealistic threesome.
What was that?
I can't remember what that was called. But the Netflix really space similar. Show with the unrealistic threesome had a kind of a similar vibe, but was much better and looked much more expensive despite the unconvincing threesome.
I knew
threesome.
That was a show it reminded me of. It's
Is it another? This one was Katie Sackhoff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Anyway, this is the arc and it's on Sky Sci-Fi, but don't watch it. But if you did want to, when's it on?
Sci-Fi. Tuesday, 13th of June, 9 o'clock /now.
Yes, an arc you do not want to board, put it that way.
Can I just tell you that while you were looking it up, Boyd, I just checked Twitter, and the number of people who have said, how long will it be before James mentions Arnold Schwarzenegger? We've just had another one, Shane Jones.
Yeah.
Boyd and Kay, any chance James Dyer will mention this on the Pilot TV pod this week?
I think you'll find you mentioned it. I did not bring it up. All right, well, fine, that was the arc. Sorry about that, guys. We've been bigging that up for months and... Christ. Anyway, we have another show this week, and finally we have Best Interests on BBC One. This is a four-part drama from the pen of Jack Thorne, and this one sees Sharon Horgan and Michael Sheen as parents struggling against an uncaring system to care for their disabled daughter's medical care. Boydie, is it in everyone's best interests to watch it?
Yes.
You weren't going to do that. You told me that it was spoilers to answer my rhetorical question.
I know, but I couldn't be bothered to dangle it.
It is, but in this instance, it was necessary.
It's just necessary, yeah. So this is Jack Thorne, the prolific, legend behind so many TV series that I'm not going to mention them all right now.
Help.
Thank you. Yes. Kiri.
Yes. Oh my God, I love Kiri.
Yeah. The National Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And loads of others. But this is very dear
anything
to his heart.
Anything with heft, basically, isn't
yes.
it?
This is very dear to his heart. Because among other things, I'm offering a brilliant writer. He is a campaigner for disabled rights, and particularly for visibility of disabled people on TV, which is still, you know, I was talking about There She Goes at the beginning, which is on the following week. And that is one of the very, very, very rare times when disabled people are visible on TV still. And this is another one. But what this is what's fascinating about this drama is that it's kind of like you can sense it's very thought-provoking and potentially controversial, because it's looking at both sides of what happens when your severely disabled family member gets to the point where, you know, that the doctors are advising that you take away life support, basically, and you let them die. And obviously that is a massive, huge dilemma. On one side of that, effectively, is Sharon Horgan's character, Nikki, while Michael Sheen's character, Andrew, is much less, she's absolutely vehement and furious about the whole idea of withdrawing support for her, for their daughter, whereas Michael Sheen's character is more kind of like, has more, you know, wants to consider and think about it. And that, and this isn't a spoiler, because cleverly, I think, and you know, I often rail against jumping around in time in shows, but Jack does it brilliantly in this show, because the very first scene is them both arriving separately, pertinently separately to court, where this thing has become a cause célèbre. And it's a trial going on, and a court case, and that these two characters are on opposing sides of it, and there's the media are covering it, and it's a huge big thing. And of course, there are real life cases of cases similar to this, but very different. He hasn't based this on any particular case; he's very clear about that. But these things do become massive media circuses, basically. So right from the beginning, he establishes the stakes are very high, and that this had the effect this has had on this married couple and on this family, and they've got an older teenage daughter as well who's not disabled, and. What I found fascinating was, so you know right from the start, this is a huge deal, this case particularly. Then you go back in time, it flashes back to when it all started. There are flashbacks to when their daughter's condition got worse. There are flashbacks to how they just deal with their daughter generally and the family life. You see certain scenes from all the different characters' point of view. Mm. And I found that fascinating, that it really, it's completely honest look at all the different issues affecting this whole idea and affecting this particular family. I thought Sharon Horgan, though, you know, obviously she's known for her comedic roles and she's brilliant. And Bad Sisters was one of her more dramatic roles, I'd say, but she's still funny in it.
Mm.
In this, she's actually... It's not so much that she's playing a heavyweight character. It's a heavyweight story and series with heavyweight issues. But she is just fantastic in it. And she has to do everything. She has to be, you know, have a character of moments of lightness, but then she has to have plumb the depths of her emotions. And she does it just so brilliantly. She's phenomenal in it. Michael Sheen, fantastic. Everyone in it is brilliant. Alison Oliver as Katie, Niamh Moriarty as Marnie, Noma Dumezweni as the Doctor, who advised him, is fantastic. I thought that she was really good. So it's just a really fascinating, brilliantly made, directed by a guy called Michael Keelor, brilliantly written by Jack, show that I do feel, in answer to your very first question, this is an absolute must-see. You have to watch this show, because it's just... it's a story that needs to be told, but it's got so many fascinating ideas in there as well that it's addressing.
It's every parent's worst nightmare, basically. And it's, you know, Sharon's talked about, I've read a couple of interviews with her saying how grueling it was to film, and you can, because it's grueling to watch. It's a tough watch, and it only gets tougher as Marnie's health declines further, and you really see the effects on the marriage. But I think, you know, for me, what was like really devastating, you get these devastating updates, which are splice with these joyful moments of them as a family, and I think that's what makes it even harder in a way, because you get to see, I mean, the reality of their situation is always made clear, runs throughout, but it's, you know, you do get these moments where, you know, they try and create this life for her, Marnie, that is, you know, a fulsome, you know, she's happy. And that's one of the lines, actually, I've just wrote it down. You know, part of Sharon's, as Nikki, her argument is, you know, like, Marnie's life is no less beautiful. It's just different. And she still laughs and she finds joy in life. And that's why she finds it so hard to think that, why would we ever stop, you know, switch off the machine? Like, she clings on to these glimmers of hope. But I think, yeah, throughout that, even though you do get to a glimpse into happier times, there's these striking images. One particular one that stands out to me is this. I don't know if you remember it, either of you, the medicine cabinet, which is just this simple scene, right? So the other daughter's called Katie, and she just opens this medicine cabinet, which is absolutely stuffed full of Marnie's medicine, basically. And there's this tiny little place like that she's got for her own lip balm. And that just sums up the situation as well, because this really tackles as well what it's like to be the sibling of someone who needs and requires so much attention. And, you know, Sharon Horgan's character is always mindful of that and trying and failing often to give her the attention she needs. And this girl, Katie, the sister, very rarely asks anything of them. You know, she tries to be as low maintenance as possible, but you see the effects that has on her. And I just think this is so well done. It's devastating. But as Boyd said, it's a necessary must watch.
Oh, I have a confession to make.
You couldn't face it.
You didn't watch it.
Terry said it would upset me, and I didn't have the time. So I was mindful of the fact that she said, because we were chatting on Instagram, she was like, no, it's going to traumatise you. And so I was like, well, there are a lot of shows this week. So I made the executive decision to choose another show for myself.
What?
No, it's absolutely true. I've reviewed a different show myself. I've gone Maverick. But when is this? Is on BBC One?
It's on BBC One, Monday and Tuesday, for the next 2 weeks.
There we go. For the next 2 weeks. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it. But what I did do...
I mean, Kate's dumbstruck, but this is what we're dealing with. Carry on.
I just want to quickly say, right, I totally get why you wouldn't... Like, I understand the reasons why you wouldn't want to watch it. And it's, you know... However... The arc. I clearly did not want to watch that, right? Yeah. Yeah. And you said to me explicitly, you have to watch it. I've watched so much comedy recently.
Kay, I had to sacrifice you on the altar of podcast comedy. I don't know what to tell you.
It's just a matter of course. Let me guess what show you did review then. Is it Count Abdullah?
This is his confession at the beginning why he didn't want to tell us, because he knew it would kick off.
It's true.
Right?
Is it Count Abdullah?
You little shit.
It's not Count Abdullah.
What did you review in your own little world?
You're going to shout at me.
Oh my God. I'm limbering up because I am furious.
What is it?
I mean, I'm surprised you haven't got this. I obviously watched the whole half the season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Because obviously, I've been watching the first season. That's what I've been watching. And I barreled straight on from the end of the first season, having caught up straight into the second season. So I can now... The eye rolling here is almost epic level. I can now review season 2 of Strange New Worlds. And I just kind of wanted to take this opportunity to say that Strange New Worlds is fantastic on every level. It's everything that the arc isn't, right? It's like it is sumptuous, the effects, the production design, everything about it looks brilliant. But take that out of the equation. What's really good about this is it's better than all the other Star Treks. So, and by, you know, I'm not saying like better than Deep Space Nine back in, they were products of its era, but in the modern day, you know, whether it be Picard, whether it be, you know, Discovery, it's so good. And there are many things about this initially, which is why I didn't originally watch it. They are as follows. One, it's episodic. Like, that was an issue for me. I didn't want an episodic Star Trek. It's not procedural, it's episodic. But even though, you know, classic Star Trek, Next Generation, these are all kind of episodic shows, I felt like in this day and age, I wanted something serialized. More like Discovery. I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that it was aping the aesthetic of the 60s Star Trek. I thought that was unnecessary. I thought, why not go...
Because I undervalue.
That's absolutely true. I do. I was like, why can't you go something more like... Because J.J. Abrams did this a little bit in the Star Trek film. He slightly aped the aesthetic of it, but it still felt very modern. This almost took a retro approach to it. It walks the line very, very finely, but initially that put me off a little bit as well. But actually, I've grown to love the fact that it's hugely colourful and it is bright and it's vibrant and it's fun. And I'm really, really digging the episodic nature of it. I don't know why, but something about the episodic nature of this, it's really working for me. I'm loving the episodic nature of it.
Stories of the week can be brilliant. Doctor Who.
But I think the reason I love this so much is because the character work in it is top shelf. Absolutely top shelf. Now, we've watched, it's like four
top
seasons.
Top shelf? You mean top notch?
Top shelf, top notch, top,
top shelf
dog.
Is like Uni magazine. Top shelf magazine.
We're back to naked
top
people.
Top shelf naked Star Trek. Is that what's
going
on?
That's a brilliant slip for him.
Absolutely brilliant.
And he's tall.
Top shelf.
We know where he's been perusing in the newsagent.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
But genuinely, so I've talked to you before, we had like four seasons of Discovery. I swear to God, even at this point, I can't name 70% of the people on the bridge of the Discovery. Mm. Genuinely can't name them. Don't know anything about them. Don't know what their names are.
Like, are you actually going to list the entire crew of this?
The point is, I could. Yeah. You know, Christina Chong, who plays Laan Noonien Singh, descendant of Khan. Absolutely great. You know, I love Erica Ortega's the pilot. She's really, really good as well. Obviously, Captain Pike and Spock. Spock is cheating and Uhura is cheating because everyone knows who they are. But even the nurse, Nurse Chapel and Dr. Mbenga, brilliant characters, all have brilliant backstories, all have their excellent little kind of stories of the week. And there's real growth between these characters. There's a couple of will they, won't they's going on. One of them is quite complicated. That one kind of comes into force in season two, so I won't spoil that. But the one in season one, like you're 100% there for, you know, will they, won't they, Spock and Nurse Chapel. Like it's great.
Isn't it co-showrun as well by Akiva Goldsman
yeah.
who created the Crowded Room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Interesting.
He's a busy man.
Yeah.
But genuinely, look, a lot of people have accused this of being Star Trek karaoke. And I think there is an element of that but Star Trek's been going for so long and it's tackled so many different things. You're always going to have similarities, I think, because so much of it has already been done. But, you know, but they do really, there's a fantasy episode where they all take on the sort of roles of weird, like, sorcerers. And I mean, it's a very strange episode. There's a kind of a knockabout comedy of where a body swap comedy where Spock and his fiance swap bodies. I mean, that's humorous fun. There's a horror episode.
Humorous fun.
It's great. You'd love it. But there's a horror episode which is part alien, part predator. It's really quite full on as
Let
well.
Let me stop you right there.
Yeah, that's enough. Don't list every episode.
Yeah, don't list. Especially because you've got a hard hour at 5:30. 10 minutes ago.
Kirk is in this as well. Your man from Vampire Diaries.
ZFG, James, right? Ever since you... I mean, I cannot believe this, right? So what we're saying is that Boyd and I have to follow your rules. It's a dictatorship, right? We have to follow his rules. And then he'll be like, yeah, do you want to watch Sheldon? So just so you know, going forward, I'm absolutely going to do what the hell I want.
No.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Unfortunately, those are not the rules of the podcast.
No. I'm going to do my goddamn one.
The moral of this story is that Star Trek Strange New Worlds is without doubt the best Star Trek on TV. It pisses all over Picard. It pisses all over Discovery. It's absolutely fantastic. Everybody should watch it. And yes, some snarky twat is going to be like, I think you'll find that Lower Decks is actually... No. Even though Lower Decks actually has a crossover episode with the new season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, let me tell you, that's kind of
and
hard to
so
get your head around
continues.
If you don't watch it.
Why is he still talking about it?
I know.
So the second season of Strange New Worlds, I've been engaging with even more than the first one. So I'm saying, if you were a Strange New Worlds fan, look forward to season two because it's arguably even better.
Do you have the button with his mic?
Anyway, also out this week.
Wrap it up.
So you're waiting to hear.
Strange New Worlds, which comes to Paramount Plus when, Boydie?
Oh, I don't know.
Boydie, we won't even look it up.
Don't look it up.
Is this because you don't cover things like this in Heat?
No.
You know, I did not put it in. I normally would. I actually didn't find
space. Because you're remiss.
For this in Heat.
You are remiss.
Yeah.
That's why.
Do not aid him, Boyd. Do not aid him.
June 15, I believe. When is that? That's next Thursday.
Yeah.
It's Thursday.
Resolves the cliffhanger from the end of season one.
Yes.
Very good. Very good stuff. Star Trek Strange New World then. Brilliant. Yeah. You'd love it, Boydie. You should watch
it. I am actually seriously going to watch it, when I've got time.
Kay, you'd like it too. I actually almost wanted to try and make you watch it because I think actually I've tried so hard to make you like Star Trek in the past. I think this is the Trek you would get on board with. I genuinely do.
Do you know what the issue is? Well, first of all, the arc, right?
The arc was a mistake.
And the bigger thing is that you've made me now so grumpy about your grotesque riding roughshod over the rules that now,
Anyway,
I won't even contemplate it.
Also out this week.
Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Series 6.
Which we may or may not be reviewing on Pilot Plus, depending on whether we can get hold of the episodes.
I have seen
You
them,
have, but we haven't.
I get specialist information because I'm hosting a Q&A Monday, BFI, with Charlie Brooker.
Everyone take
Josh
a shot.
Josh Hartnett. It's strictly embargoed. I don't care. I'm just going to say it's fantastic.
Great.
It's I think it's the most the scariest, darkest series yet.
Mm.
Considering how dark he's gone before.
Yeah. Not for me.
And it's
embargoes be damned.
Thursday, Black Mirror, all 5 episodes arrive. There's Queen of Oz, which is Catherine Tate's new comedy series.
Have you seen that?
Yes. She plays a royal. You read my preview in Heat Magazine, Kay. It's funny. Friday, BBC One, 9:30. Count Abdullah, which is the latest ITVX.
Yes.
That looks very funny. It's about a British Pakistani Muslim who becomes a vampire. And that looks very entertaining. I've seen lots of clips of it. Staged which was on BritBox. The third series comes to BBC One on Wednesday. David Tennant and Michael Sheen, both previously aforementioned. Very funny. There's a Blackadder thing about the lost pilot of Blackadder and the history of Blackadder on Gold on Thursday and Friday of this week. Outlander is back, which is a phenomenally popular show.
Yeah.
Not for me.
That's the final season of Outlander,
I believe it is the final season. Seventh and final season of Outlander. People love Outlander.
Yes, they do. Aware. That's got a lot of bodice ripping in it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of knobbage. And that's all
what
we need.
What a way to end. Yes. Knobbage.
That's it, I think. That's mainly it.
There we go. And of course, Strange New Worlds, which comes to Paramount Plus on Thursday, the 15th of June.
Correct.
I think I'm busy on the 19th of August.
We're going to make the whole thing about Strange New Worlds.
I'm
and you're
going
to watch
away.
18 episodes.
No.
It's going to be great.
It's not Steady. Happening.
Well, I think we're done. Can we have a pick of the week?
Best interests. Which you didn't watch because you're...
Star Trek Strange New Worlds, it is! It's in your best interest to watch Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Okay, well, that's it for this week's Pilot TV podcast. If you did indeed love the show, please go on to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-arc rating. We will be back in your ears next week. But before then, please do follow us on social media at Pilot TV Pod, at Boyd Hilton, at James E. Dyer, and at K. Ribeiro. What are we going to be doing next week? Secret Invasion comes to Disney Plus. You can bet your ass we're not going to see that in time, but you never know. The Change comes to Channel 4, and Just Like That is back on our screens then.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm a Virgo comes to Prime. Before We Die Season 2 comes to Channel 4.
I thought you were just telling us your star sign.
I'm a Virgo.
What star sign are you?
Well, am I? I don't hold with any of this astrology nonsense.
Yada, yada, yada. Carry on.
But I am a Sagittarius.
I can't believe we just brought this up. We've got to wrap it up.
Sorry.
Things to go to.
Okay,
Sagittarion, if you want to use the 12 colonies model from Battlestar Galactica. Anyway, so we'll be doing one of those shows on... Boyd, he's literally... He stood up. God. He's buttoning his shirt. He's getting ready to go. Do you want to tell everyone why you've got to go early, Boyd?
Go on. I am looking after my friend's dog.
Your dog sitting. Boyd is dog sitting. He has to pick up the cutest little dog.
Named dog.
So that's why we're letting him off.
So it's a TV. It's a Pilot TV.
Yeah. He's cute.
Dog.
Yeah.
Boyd and the dog.
Boyd and the dog. Both cute. Right. Okay, brilliant. There will be shows. There'll be Pilot Plus on Thursday. We'll see you later. Pilot out.